Good morning. I have been asked to introduce Ryan and his family to you, and I think as many of us are very excited about this this opportunity. I'll just, so I've got my stuff to read, otherwise I'll forget what to say. First of all, I'm just going to introduce the family to you a little bit. Sandy and Chris and Daniel are sitting right over here, and thanks. What I'm going to do for an introduction, it's not biographical. You can read that stuff, and so you don't need to know the degrees and the places and all that sort of thing. You can find out about that. It's what I've experienced personally with them and our search committee has experienced, so I'll give you a bit of that. First of all, about Sandy, we found her to be a very supportive person, supportive of Ryan and his ministry and that sort of thing. Very open, heartwarming, joyful, and concerned. And now she's blushing, so that's... And Chris and Daniel, kids that really like to play, very smart boys. Our daughter was very impressed and with how bright they are, and really friendly kids, really like friends, and have already made friends here, so that's kind of neat. And about Ryan, once you've actually seen him, you'll say, as many say, oh, he's young. And appearance is very deceiving. He's not young in faith. He's not young in perspective. He's not young in outlook. There are things that maturity there that you'll really appreciate. I think he has a real desire for the community of faith to go deeper, to seek God, and to know him better. So I thought that was great. He's a real passion for FIRST. We were surprised at how well he knows FIRST already. He loves its worship style. He loves its people. He has a vision, I think, that will that's appropriate for us and will stretch us. So that's good. It's also just been fun to hang out, which I think is really important because I think we're a fun congregation. So it's an important thing. And finally, I think that Ryan has a strong, gentle spirit. And I think that can help us grow in faith and in life. But I think we have to be careful not to quench that spirit. We must come alongside. And I think many of us know what I'm saying. That's my introduction, and I'll just tell you a little bit more. Afterwards, we're going to have coffee downstairs. There'll be a conversation with Ryan, sort of a question and answer time. Probably a little less formal, maybe, than the last time we did it, but something... where we can get better introduced to each other. I think that's all I have to say. I'd like you just to take a moment to quiet yourself as we prepare for worship.
Hi. We're going to just have a little quick chat about what we're going to talk about this morning when we, as a congregation, hear from our sermon a little later on. And the topic this morning is faith. Faith. Can you say that? Faith. And Chris and Daniel are going to help me a bit, but I'm going to need three other volunteers. So Chris and Daniel, will you come up? And I'm going to give you a letter. So Chris, I'm going to give you F. Daniel, I'm going to give you H. We did rehearse this last night. In the red, can you come up? What's your name? Amarant. Okay. Why don't you stand beside Chris? A. And Harrison. I. Okay. And let's have one more girl up here. In the green dress. So we're going to be talking about faith this morning, and I thought, well, faith can mean a lot of things, but one phrase that might help us remember what faith means is this. We're going to say that the F is for facing, and then we're going to say that the A is for a lot of stuff, and the I is I, and the T is trust, and the H is him. Why don't you turn to Why don't we just make a little half circle here so that the kids can see you. Chris, maybe you can step back a bit. So let's say that together, kids. Facing a lot of stuff, I trust Him. And the Him that we're talking about this morning is God. Believing that even in the midst of facing a lot of things in life, some of the things we go through are good, some of the things we go through are really challenging, but faith means that in the midst of facing a lot of stuff, I trust Him. So let's say that one more time, the phrase, facing a lot of stuff, I trust Him. And even the parents are joining us. Let's do it one more time. Facing a lot of stuff, I trust Him. And so this week, as you go into your week, may God grant you faith. In the face of all the things that happened this week, may He grant you faith so that you might trust Him. Let's pray together, all right? Gracious God, thanks for these children. Thanks for the joy. Thanks for the energy. Thanks for the delight that they are in this community of faith. And so we pray that in the midst of what we're facing, the joy and the sorrow today, that You would help us trust in You. We pray blessings on these kids in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, let's pray together the prayers of the people. The Lord looks down from heaven and beholds all the people in the world. From where He sits enthroned, He turns His gaze on all who dwell on the earth. He fashions all the hearts of them and understands all their works. There is no king that can be saved by a mighty army. A strong man is not delivered by his great strength. The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. For all its strength, it cannot save. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear Him, on those who wait upon His love, to pluck their lives from death and to feed them in time of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our heart rejoices in Him, for in His holy name we put our trust. Let Your loving kindness, O God, be upon us, as we have put our trust in You. Gracious God, help us to breathe in the blessings of this prayer from the psalmist. May these words inspire and transform us, that we would be a people who rejoice, a people who praise, a people who sing. And we recognize that this does not come from our own strength. This comes because of Christ, who lives in us, the hope of glory. We realize this comes from the Holy Spirit, who speaks, who creates, who sustains. We pray blessings on those around us in this community of faith this morning, friends, family members, co-laborers in the kingdom. We pray blessings on the churches who gather today in Edmonton, seeking to be ambassadors of hope and healing and reconciliation. We pray blessings on the churches who worship around the world today, that we might recognize our responsibility to be the hands and feet of God. O God, from whom all good things proceed, we pray that you would continue to enrich us, inspire us, teach us this morning. We pray these things in the name of the living Christ. Amen. Good morning. It is a joy for Sandy and the family and I to be here this morning. And this is a good place for us to be. And so we're just encouraged. We've had a good weekend so far, and we're hoping that it doesn't fall apart right here. I'm going to read the Old Testament text as well to begin this morning from the lectionary, because we've heard from Romans 4 talking about Abraham. I also want to read the piece from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. And I know we do this later on in the service, but when I speak at churches, I also like to say, "The Lord be with you," after I read my passage, and then invite you, as a sign of saying, "Yes, we're on board," as we walk through the text this morning, as a sign of you saying, "Yes, I'm on board," then you'll also say, "And also with you." Does that make sense? I'll read the Genesis 12 passage. I'll say, "The Lord be with you," and invite you to come on board as we walk through this text for just the next several minutes. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go into the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country to east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev." The Lord be with you. As I alluded to in the children's story this morning, our topic is faith, and you also see it there in the title, Faith in the Face of Fear. And as I was reflecting on the lectionary text this week, I was challenged by this theme of faith that was moving through the different texts. And so this morning, we'll focus on the Matthew 9 section, and we'll also spend some time in the Romans 4 section. But I wanted to read that Genesis 12 section also to remind us of the beginnings of Abraham's faith journey and where he started. Because in Romans 4, we hear quite a bit of how it ended and how Abraham really goes down in the good book as a hero in the hall of faith. Faith in the face of fear. We live in a world that causes us to be fearful, don't we? I was glancing at the paper this morning, even before coming to church, and just reading the headlines, and they are fear-inducing headlines. And it almost shook me up as I was reading the paper. I was like, "Oh, shouldn't have read that. That's freaking me out." And yet, when we look around as media hurls lots of fear messages to us. And yet when we read through the story of God, time after time, we hear a different message. In the First Testament or the Old Testament, we hear time after time God saying, "Do not fear, for behold, I am with you. Do not fear." And then when we read the New Testament, the Second Testament, so many times we read in the Gospels Jesus saying to his disciples and friends, he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Even after these great times of ministry, the disciples suddenly quail and want to run away, and Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." And so as we walk through the text this morning, I want us to offer three ideas that help us in this journey of faith in the midst of fear. In Matthew 9, I want to start by saying it's interesting that fear often asks questions and really doesn't want an answer. And if you still have your Bibles open in Matthew 9, the Pharisees, in response to Jesus eating with sinners, in verses 9 to 11, the Pharisees ask the following question: "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And then I know we didn't read it as part of the lectionary text in Matthew 9, but in verse 14, we read that John's disciples, in response to the activities of Jesus' disciples, ask a question. They say, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Fear sometimes asks questions and doesn't even want an answer. And I could imagine the Pharisees standing there asking their question: "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Do you think for a moment that the Pharisees were really wanting an answer to that question? I tend to doubt that. I think the Pharisees were pretty smug, and they knew the answer, and they didn't want an answer, and they knew the way of the world. One reading that I read this week said, the person confessing, "I recognize that I sometimes become the Pharisee who knows the right answer and the way things ought to be." Sometimes we ask questions, and we don't really expect an answer because we've got it all figured out. I'd like us just to pause for a moment and reflect on that ourselves. Has this been a week where we've been asking why and how questions of God, and yet really not wanting an answer? Did we really want an answer from the Spirit of God or Jesus as we ask questions this week? I thought of some questions that challenge me that I ask. When I think about social justice, I think, well, I'm tempted and sometimes say this: "Why should I give to the poor? Can't they just get their act together? You know, if I were them, I would dot, dot, dot." Am I really wanting an answer? Because I think the Spirit of God might say, "Blessed are the poor. Ryan, I want you to be a part of the community of faith that takes care of the poor." Oh, I didn't want to hear that. Because sometimes fear asks questions and doesn't expect an answer. Secondly, then, I want to talk about faith. Fear asks questions in this text of Matthew 9. What's faith doing? I'd like to say that faith speaks with courage and humility and expects resurrection. In verse 18, we read that a leader of the synagogue knelt and said, "Come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And it's not so much even what the leader said, but also his posture that I find interesting, that he knelt and said, "Come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Faith speaks with courage and humility and expects resurrection. In verse 21, the woman who had been suffering with this bleeding for 12 years, if you read that verse again in verse 21, she came not in front of Jesus, but how did she come to him? Behind. She came behind him. And she said to herself, If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well. Faith speaks with courage and humility and expects resurrection. This woman's body was not physically dead in a sense, but in many ways her life had become a death of sorts. Because she was unclean, she would become isolated. She would become ignored. She would become an outcast. She would be called unrighteous. So in many ways, she did experience a death in her life. And yet her faith speaks with courage and humility and expects resurrection. So two ideas so far. Fear asks questions and expects nothing. Faith speaks with courage and humility and expects resurrection. Again, I'd like you to pause and just for half a minute reflect on your faith. And how is it spoken, audibly or quietly this week? Perhaps there's someone in your sphere of influence who needs a resurrection of healing and hope, and God is nudging you to be that friend or family member who brings this friend to Christ. Perhaps you're in a place where you personally need resurrection, where you need healing, where you need hope. Do you have the courage and humility to ask Jesus of that today? And maybe you're like the woman, and you don't feel like you can even say it out loud, but you just say to yourself, Jesus, heal me. That's that hymn that we just sang together, healer of our every ill. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, I believe you can make me well. It's interesting to note that in Matthew 9, we see that those who walk by faith, those who are stepping into faith, are going to be laughed at. Verse 24, there's laughter, there's mockery going on. And Jesus sends those mockers out. And it made me think that sometimes scoffers miss out on the miracles. They missed out on seeing this daughter get up. They missed out on seeing that resurrection moment. So the third idea is this. This resurrection faith that we're talking about rests on grace. This resurrection faith that we're talking about rests on grace. This faith that leads to resurrection is not conjured up in our own strength. It is a gift of grace. I want to return to that Romans 4 text again, verse 16. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. That verse just jumped out at me this week. Who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This resurrection faith rests on grace. If we continue reading again that text, verse 18, hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. In verse 20, no distrust made him waver considering the promise of God. Verse 21, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Verse 25, we see that it's all about resurrection. Unless we forget that this resurrection faith is just for me in my personal world, I also want to challenge us to think about this message being for the whole world. We are called, I love this phrase, we are called to practice resurrection through faith for the sake of the world. I love that phrase, practice resurrection. We live in a world of fear. We live in a world of death and dying and dead places. And yet we as the people of God, time after time in the midst of hearing this word of God, do not fear. We're called to practice resurrection, to bring resurrection life
to dead places. And again, I want to remind us that this doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Spirit of God, through Christ who lives in us, through Christ who is the hope of glory. We are called to practice resurrection. As we close this morning in this time in the text, I want us to think on four questions. The first question is this: can you think back to a faith story from your past? Can you think back to a faith story from your past? A time where you did take that posture of courage and humility and step into a place that was unknown, trusting that God would make it known to you. Maybe you can think of that faith story. And I hope faith stories continue in our journey, but some of us have these mountaintop faith experiences. For me, it was this continuing call. I was in my second year of teaching high school math and physics, and I felt like God was continuing to call me to vocational ministry. And I was comfortable in my second year, and I was just about to get my permanent certificate. And people were saying, "This is great, Ryan, you could continue on, you can retire soon if you start now, you're so young." And yet God was saying, I want you to try something. I'm going to call you to a different place." And so near the end of that second year became this call to seminary and to consider vocational ministry to a new country, Southern California, to a new set of student loans, a new work loan. It took courage. There was this sense of humility of thinking, "God, I don't know if I, am I going to make it? I don't even know if I have enough resources to make it 2 years in California." And yet, as the story goes on, God does take care of things. And he brings to life things that we dream and we hope for. He provided all my needs, and even more than I could ever imagine. For Sandy, it was a faith story that moved her from Pennsylvania in the East to California to meet her future husband. God was moving her. This was before she even met me. And she took the initial steps. And what she ended up experiencing in California was more than she could ever imagine. And it was full of joy, but it was full of sorrow and even a near-death experience that I'll let her tell you on her own. But God proved himself faithful and took care of all of her needs. So the first question, as we just move on today, is think back to a faith story from your past. And maybe as you reflect and even thank God for that faith story, it will stir up that courage and humility for you to start even new faith stories this week. The second question is this: do we have enough time to listen to God and be challenged for a faith story? Do we want to hear God's continuing call this week? And maybe in the midst of our busyness or our smugness, God might be inviting you again to simply take time to hear his continuing call. The third question is personal. I want you to ask, how can I personally live by faith versus fear this week? How can I personally live by faith versus fear this week? And then the fourth question is corporate. It's more for us as a community of faith. How can we, as a community of faith, live by faith versus fear this coming week, or this month, or this coming summer, or for the rest of the year? What does it look like for us to be a community of faith that lives by faith versus fear? Let's close with Hebrews 11, where the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, I encourage you to read through the whole chapter this week, but at the beginning, the writer says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And then jumping to verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In a moment of silence, I want us to quietly pray. And maybe one of those four questions might just perk something in your heart or your mind or your soul this morning. Think on your faith story, a place when courage and humility were at the forefront and how God proved himself faithful. Or maybe you're at a place where you need to simply ask God to help you find that space to again hear his voice. And do that during our moment of silence. Or maybe you're in a place where you can personally say, God, I want to live by faith versus fear this week. Show me what that might be. And many of us are leaders in this church community. So maybe the fourth question resonates with you this morning. God, how can we, as a community of faith, live by faith versus fear in the weeks and months ahead? So a moment of silence, and then I'll close with prayer. Lord, who are we to know what life will be like for us tomorrow, next week, next year, or even 10 years from now? Who are we to know who you will be for us in the year ahead? Lord, help us not to bind you with our limited ideas and feelings. You can do many things with us, things that might seem impossible to us. We want to remain open to the free movement of your Spirit in our lives. Help us in our moments of doubt, when we question our calling or question our sainthood. Help us when we feel overwhelmed by our impulses and our desires. Instead, allow us to be open to your healing love. Help us to be set free. Help us to let you enter our hearts however you desire. Be the shepherd of our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.